the many different backgrounds and faith traditions that you congregations, we may sometimes wonder what ties us together, what keeps us knit as a community. What takes all these idiosyncrasies and individual characteristics of its members and creates emergent properties that result in a community that's greater than the sum of its parts? Please join me in welcoming Reverend Linda Thompson from the CUC in her talk on Covenant at the Heart of It.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody. My work with the CUC, I've told a few of you, I work with and support congregations in the eastern half of the country. And so Sarnia to Halifax is the territory that I cover, and it's an absolute delight to be here with you today and for the weekend. And after I finish here today, I'm hopping in the car after some hellos at coffee and going to see the folks at the Fredericton congregation. So that's my weekend. Some of you may have participated, as I did when I was younger, in reciting the Apostles' Creed. Heck, I bet that some of you could recite it right now. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. And it goes on, making clear statements about the nature of Jesus, the manner of his death, his resurrection, the Trinity, and what Christians understand as the path to salvation. I didn't realize when I sat in the pew of the Presbyterian Church of my childhood that what we were doing when we recited that creed was telling one another who we were. If you were raised in a Muslim community, you'll know the words, "I bear witness that there is no God but God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is God's messenger." The Jews among us can recite the Shema Yisrael, which begins, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." These statements make clear for the people who say them the fundamental and binding beliefs of that religious group. They help the religious tribe identify who is in and who isn't. They help define membership. Of course, there are creedal nuances between Roman Catholic and Lutheran, just as there are between Sunni and Shiite Muslim and between Reform and Hasidic Jews. But it's safe to say that if the Shema Yisrael is being said, the people saying it are Jewish, and they all know it. So what about us? What's the glue that holds us together as Universalists and Unitarians? We don't have a creedal statement that defines our collective understanding about the existence, let alone the nature of God. What makes this congregation a people? What makes the larger community of Unitarian Universalists a people? Years ago, I taught a coming-of-age class in my home congregation, Hamilton. Well, the young people were 12 and 13 years old. And we asked the students to form personal credo statements as part of the activity there. One of the students in that class, I remember him well, he's probably 30 years old now, but he took absolute delight in telling us what he didn't believe. And I think based on my experience and observation of our congregations, a lot of us, at least a lot of the time, operate the same way. We're pretty quick to tell you what we don't believe. We don't believe in the Trinity, we don't believe in God, we don't believe in one right belief system, we don't believe, we don't believe, we don't believe. And yes, all of those negative statements are true. We don't collectively believe any one of those things. But when I hear us say those as adults, I think of that adolescent, that young man for whom it was developmentally appropriate to define himself in that way. I'm not 13 anymore. I don't think any of you are. So what's the positive, affirming core of this religious community? How can we begin to define ourselves by what we are rather than by what we're not? What's the glue that holds the Universalist Unitarian Church of Halifax together? How has this congregation and its understanding of itself changed? In the absence of a creed, a clear statement of belief, we're sometimes a bit adrift trying to define ourselves. Some of our answers have not helped us, I don't think, with our goal of building strong and healthy communities. But I believe there are things we can do. There are actions we can take, statements we can make that will help us understand who we are. I find this particular reflection by Reverend Frederick Muir useful. Muir said, human beings, individually and collectively, become human by making commitments, by making promises. The human being as such, and he quotes Martin Buber, is the promise-making, promise-keeping, promise-breaking, promise-renewing creature. The human being is the promise-maker, the commitment-maker, uniting in the common bonds of relationship rather than obedience to a dogma is a distinguishing feature of Unitarian Universalism. Most of us have experienced the level of theological diversity that lack of creed and dogma can allow us to express. But Muir says theological diversity and the absence of dogma and creed are not to be understood as a philosophy of anything goes. He says the gifts and blessings of free inquiry, skepticism, and seeking bring responsibility. And our fourth principle speaks to this with clarity when it says we affirm and promote the free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Yet for some, theological free thinking, religious progressivism, and spiritual seeking are translated as acceptance, tolerance, or ignorance of behavior that can undermine or even harm the religious and spiritual life of others and the well-being of our congregations. That's Muir's take on it. He says when we take pride in the theological differences that unite us, the differences aren't always the best foundation for building a strong institution. There must be something more. Now, don't get me wrong. Muir's not trying to make a case for a creedal statement or a dogmatic statement. He, I, and others believe that the something more, the glue for our communities, is the concept of covenant. The desire to organize relationally is in our DNA. Reverend Alice Blair Wesley, who did a series of lectures some time ago, explored and shared how covenant is a long-standing part of our traditions. She writes of early New England congregations where both strands of our traditions found a home in North America and how they organized as free churches. Early church members there had come to North America looking for a place to practice church with freedom, free from ecclesiastic authority. They longed for churches in which members were loyal before all else to the spirit of love. And in those congregations, the covenantal organizational pattern was established. Those spiritual ancestors of ours understood that their covenant, the way they organized, was an expression of their theology. The overarching theological understanding was that the spirit of love must and should and could be at the heart of what they did and what we do now. So what does that mean to us now? You may or may not believe anything particular about the nature of God or redemption or any of the other sort of traditional theological questions. But for us, those are secondary to the theological aspiration we share, the one that says we're trying to be loyal to the spirit of love. Now, that's a bit of a apple pie kind of statement. Loyal to the spirit of love. It takes a pretty unusual person to say that they don't want to be loyal to the spirit of love. So it should be very easy for us to get this right. That's why people never leave our congregations hurt. That's why there's never any conflicts in our congregations. That's why there's never any theological insults bandied about, right? Yeah. I've been around the block. Not so much. So loyalty to the spirit of love isn't quite enough. I'm a big believer in the need for us to be upfront about expectations And I've come to believe we need to have clear, well-communicated expectations in our congregations, at least as much as we need them anywhere. The spirit of love is, after all, a pretty broad description, open to interpretation in at least a few ways. If we don't spend some time defining what in our context, in our time, works for us, I think we're setting people up. What would it mean if we talked about explicit and implicit expectations of the members of this congregation? What would it mean if people weren't left guessing at the norms and expectations that all communities, unconsciously or consciously, hold? I believe that one goal in congregational life ought to be to help people better understand the expectations and the norms as soon as possible so that they can fully engage in the life of the congregation without worrying about the misstep that might earn them a raised eyebrow or pursed lips. How would things be different if we had clear expectations of behavior and of the quality of relationship so that people don't find themselves insulted or dismissed or mocked with a, oh, come on, that's just how we do things here? By making commitments or promises to one another about how we want to gather in community, and by making explicit commitments and promises, we agree we want to spare one another the embarrassment of a misstep, and we agree that we truly want to be loyal to the spirit of love. I don't think we want to be a group that says one thing and then does another when we engage theological diversity, when we explore our richness of being the ways that we are together. We don't want to be the group that says we welcome newcomers and then treat them like aliens when they share their truth and understanding. This work takes a bit of maturity. It takes loyalty to something greater than our own personal preferences. I imagine a fair number of you would be happy if you never heard the word God uttered in this room, unless, as the joke goes, maybe when the caretaker fell off the ladder. But I think others of you probably feel a bit lost, a bit bereft at the lack of theological language, and you wish there was a way to bring some of the deep and rich theological terms you know from your previous understanding into this UU context. I imagine some of you wish that your services were more reflective, and others probably wish they would be less reflective. But the thing is, and I said this yesterday, I encourage all of you to think about this congregation as bigger than you, as more important than you. I would be really excited if I heard you talking that you had deliberately begun to think of this congregation collectively as ours, and that you were doing so with a clear understanding that this meant that things would not always go your way. I'd be happy to know that your members were glad, truly glad, that the needs of others were being met, even when their own were, at least some of the time, not being met. Because when congregations begin to operate this way, I'm reassured that the individuals have moved from being consumers of congregational life to creators of it. People are focusing on a loyalty beyond their own preferences and comfort, and then I know that they're committed to building a transformative and loving community. I know that they take seriously the mandate to serve the spirit of life. Our congregations are, in my experience, for the most part, filled with very good people, lovely people. But all of those people are, I've also learned, inconveniently human. Remember the quote earlier about humans as promise makers and promise breakers. One of the things we need to learn how to do when we get together is to come back when we've broken our promises, when we failed to meet our commitments, because we will. I might aspire to always speak with compassion and honesty when I'm feeling hurt by another. I might even promise to do so. But chances are I will, at least some of the time, fall short. I will not, some of the time, be able to muster the courage and the grace to pull it off. One of the things we need to learn how to do is to recommit and how to promise how we're going to go forward together. The first song we sang today, Come, Come, Whoever You Are, is based on a poem by the Sufi poet Rumi. And the poetry words go something like this. Come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving, it doesn't matter. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Come, come, even if you have broken your vows 1,000 times. Come, come, come yet again, come. Some versions of the song that I've heard sung, there's another line that goes below the melody that speaks to, though you've broken your vows 1,000 times. Though you've broken your vows 1,000 times. The vows that we all, in our human inconvenient selves, the ones that we all break from time to time. Being human is about making promises, and also, I think, more importantly, about learning how to come back to them when we fall short. Our work together is to have faith, to hope, and to love. To hope for ourselves, and to love ourselves, and to do the same for others, so that we might begin again and again and again when we need to. In my time doing congregational work, and Kim and I were talking about this the other day, the first time I came here was, I think, in 1998, and I had just actually begun doing this work in a professional way. So it's been a while, folks. In my time doing congregational work, I have heard stories that would break your heart. I have heard stories of people who, in their hurt or frustration, have said and done cruel things. Of people who've been a bit careless and who have hurt one another. And if I'm honest with myself, I know that I have hurt other people at times. And I know I've been hurt. It would be easy in those moments of hurt to grab my coat, grab my marbles and my pride, and just leave. But I don't, and I haven't. Because I think, on reflection, I really do believe in the covenant. I believe that it's about aspirations. It's about how we want to be in the world and how we want to make it better next time. Making, breaking, and remaking promises. That's what we do when we do it well in our congregations. In the 35 plus years I've been at UU, I've learned that being here is about much more than being some kind of theological free agent. I've learned that for us, it's not really about what we believe, but about how we are. We all get to have our own beliefs. But what we want to hold one another accountable to is how we are together. It's about how we are in these communities we're crafting. I know that this congregation, as so many are, is asking itself some pretty big questions. We talked about some of them yesterday. Through your long history, there have been struggles. You still face some. You'll face more in the future. And I wish I had a magic wand and I could just make all of your congregational dreams come true. But I don't. But I can perhaps help you to make your own magic. I urge you to strive to understand what it means to remain true to the spirit of love. The spirit of love that our early Unitarian and Universal ancestors longed for. I urge you, as you do this work, to stay in right relationship with one another and with our larger movement. I urge you to do the deep and important work of asking again and again, how do we want to be together? When our congregations do this, they tend the fire of the chalice and they work to bring more love, more justice, and more understanding to the world. When our congregations do this work, when they ask these questions, when they struggle to bring aspiration and reality closer together, they are doing the important work of covenant building. They are being human. They're making promises. When we do this, we fashion congregations that reflect our values and our theology. If we believe that each of us has inherent worth and dignity, we are free to do this work on our own, but together as well. It's my hope that the Canadian Unitarian Council, an organization of member congregations, can, through our collective your efforts, my staff efforts, that we can support one another in this work. Because as I've already said, I don't have a magic wand. I wish that this business of being human was a bit easier. I wish being in community wasn't so often the challenge that it sometimes proves to be. But then again, I'm not so sure I really wish those things. Yes, this business of growing healthy Unitarian Universalist congregations is hard and at times complicated work. But really, what a gift that is. We have the opportunity to learn here with one another how to be human. Here we ask one another to share of ourselves, to be open, and to dare to try to grow in love and compassion. Here we ask one another to live our promises. Here we commit to supporting one another as companions and witnesses on our collective journey. Here we give one another permission to promise, to try, to fail, and to try again. So, come, come, whoever you are, wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving. Come, broken vows and all. Come, yet again, come.